Hey guys, my name is John, and you're listening to TCK Tales. Okay, so today we're going to kind of go in a different direction, and I will kind of explain this a little bit. One thing I want to do is broaden the definition of TCK. As you guys know, this podcast is called TCK Tales, not MK Tales. And also, for those of you guys who've been listening for the entire first season and all of this season, everyone we've had on here so far has been an MK, either a missionary kid or a military kid. And I want to broaden the definition of TCK to include other people that aren't just MKs. And I want to make this more than just an MK podcast. Though MKs do take up a majority of the people who would identify themselves as TCKs, there are others that you might not think about. So in this little mini series about identity that we're kind of going through, I'm going to kind of give you guys examples of two other groups of people that you guys might not consider to be TCKs, but actually are. The first one is my friend. His name is John C. He is a senior theology major and RA here at Moody Bible Institute. And the reason I have him on is because he is African American and he was adopted into a family of people who are not African American. He's going to tell you more of his story in a minute. But as someone who has adopted siblings, I realize that this is something that is very profound. And the concept of culture within people in the U.S. and within ethnicities is amazing. And it's not something that we think about, people having to move between two cultures, even though they've lived in the same country, because of the fact that U.S. is so broad and culture exists not on country lines, but on ethnicity lines. Even where I'm from in Nigeria, you have two different cultures between two different tribes of Hausa and Yoruba, or of Igbo and Hausa. They're very different cultures, and I kind of want to bring light to that. So John C., I felt like, was the best person to exemplify this in my discussions with him. He has some really, really profound life experience about being adopted and growing up in between these two cultures. He was the president of the African American student group here on campus called Embrace for a while. And yeah, so without further ado, here is John C. talking about identity in Christ.
I just want to talk a little bit about being a third culture kid. I'm a little bit different on the third culture kid scale because I am African American and I'm adopted to an incredible farm family that happens to be white from East Central Illinois. How am I a third culture kid, you might ask, is that usually being African American, you're from a more urban area and you're in black culture. But then obviously if you're like parents are white, and you're white, you're in like white culture. But for me, because I was raised by a white family, I was right in the middle. So like I never got to be really around black culture until I was much older, until I really came to Moody. And I was very much in white culture. And when I mean white culture, I mean like independent fundamental Baptists, Jesus drank grape juice, King James Bible only, women wore dresses down to their skirts. And that's kind of a bit of a swing from a kid who's born Southside Chicago and just like listened to like Tupac and Biggie and just like huge swing. And then it's through foster care. Like I was born Southside Chicago. First 9 years of my life, I was in foster care. I came to the Hugheses, my adoptive family, when I was 6 years old, was not adopted till I was nine. And yeah, so I remember being at the Hugheses, like my family, they'd always say how beautiful my skin was, but they never really want to talk about African-American culture because they didn't want to make it be an issue. I remember they talk about, let's say, Martin Luther King, right? And it'd always be brought up in a way that was negative, that he committed affairs and like he's not as great as people thought he was. So then I was like, oh, well, MLK wasn't that great of a guy, you know? I had always kind of grown up in an area where it's like, oh, like being one of the few black guys, and like my name was John Mel, John Mel Lee Collin, and I felt so lonely that I switched my name from John Mel to John because that's like, it helped me fit in more with my white family. My family was doing foster care, so Michael, who's also African-American, his African-American name was Myquan, was adopted on the very same day as me, and then a year later, Duncan, or Diavani, was adopted. He's 2 days old when he came and adopted when he's one. And then two major surprises, Mason and Shelby, my parents were surprised by. So yeah, being black was just not talked about, but it was very much, hey, we are so blessed to have you in the Hughes family. everyone treated me the same. My mom called me like her little chocolate bar, like just ridiculous things like that, like what moms would do. So I remember this story though. I was about, let's say 13. My great grandma, who was born in the 1913, great woman, but a little bit different. Like she'd always say, oh, I saw the nicest colored woman at the store. And you're like, grandma, you can't say that. But then you're like, well, but at least she said she's nice, you know, like, and she's born in 1913. So what more do you need? Right. But she wanted a generational picture with her son and then my grandpa's son, which would be my father. The key thing is when I came to the Hugheses, I was the oldest kid of the oldest kid of the oldest kid. But the key thing is I'm also adopted. So blood-wise, the Hughes, Welsh blood, Hughes means sons of fire, flows right through Mason, not me. So I remember my great-grandma said, hey, I want to get this picture with my son, my grandson, and then my great-grandson, meaning Mason. And I'm not that close with my adopted dad, sadly, but I remember one of the greatest things he's ever done for me was said, no, like, I'm only going to be in this picture if my son, my oldest son, is in it. And, like, even just thinking about it just warms my heart because... being adopted, you always, at least from my situation, and part of it is because I look different. I always felt the awkward kid out, you know, just like I never really fit in. But here was this moment where like my dad was claiming me as like I'm the oldest son. As like I think Jacob will say to Reuben in the scripture, like the first of his power. Right, the first to excel, right? So that was a huge moment for me. Then I'm going through, let's say, teenage years, and once again, keep getting like, you're pretty cute for a black guy. And it's kind of awkward. It's like, cutie, what? But then it's like, well, at least they said I'm cute. Then I remember watching, let's say, Will Smith and Hitch. And that changed my life because here was this guy who was just like good looking and there's like so much energy and the smile. And I remember there's a scene in the movie. Will Smith is wearing these bent glasses and has the acne and his girlfriend friend zones him and cheats on him, whatever. And that's literally was like my life at that time. And I'm like, I can change and be like Will Smith. So a very long and dark road. God led me from that moment to like be more sure myself in who I am in Christ. So then I read Bloodlines by John Piper, an excellent book. It really actually taught me that race matters. It is precious. Race is not the gospel, but it is a facet of a diamond we call the gospel. It's this beautiful facet, but it cannot be the entire diamond. So reading Bloodlines changed my view on things. Then I came to the Moody Bible Institute, and it was the first place in my life where I joined this student group called Embrace that I was actually against. I was like, I don't need to go to a black student group because I'm confident in who I am as a person because I didn't really see myself as a black man. And even though secretly I would say if I could press a button to change myself to be white, I would. But still, I didn't want to talk about race. And yes, Bloodlines changed my life, but still like, I don't need this black student group.
TCK Tales is brought to you in partnership with Mukapa. Mukapa is a student group here at Moody Bible Institute that seeks to minister to TCKs. It seeks to help them while in transition from their host country to the U.S. and to create a bridge between those who have grown up overseas and those who have not, and to allow people to experience the world through the relationships they have with those who have grown up cross-culturally. This week is Missions Conference, so if you are here in Chicago and you're listening to this on the day it comes out, stop by Moody and come to Missions Conference tomorrow, so Thursday. This comes out on a Wednesday. Thursday, after this podcast comes out, there will be a panel discussion called How to Raise an MK, put on by Mukapa. I will be one of the people on the panel, and we will be talking and answering questions that they have prepared, as well as questions from the audience. A lot of it's going to be stuff here, like our stories and what we learned from our parents and what we wish our parents did differently. That's one of my prompts whenever I ask people to come in. So, you know, hang out, come, meet me, talk to me. It'll be kind of fun.
But then I moved into Embrace, and these people started challenging me. And like, is being black beautiful? Why are we black? Why did God create race? What does it look like to be a black man in America? What are the implications? Why is it that my fellow black brothers feel uncomfortable with police officers. And then I've also noticed that, like, I'm kind of uncomfortable with police officers. And, you know, my best friend is a police officer from where I'm from, in Champaign. Great guy. Why is it that when I used to dress down, like, not wear, like, the nicest stuff, that I would always get stopped in the airport security, but then once I started dressing really nice, I'd get through faster? Why is it that when I was 14, like, my parents would say, hey, John, people may allow you to be friends with their daughters, if the daughters are white. That's cool, but for you to date them, they may not allow that. And he's like, what? So, like, this was all coming to fruition at Moody and being an Embrace, and then it hit me. It's by God's sovereign will and his audacious artistry that I am African American. And that the weird thing with being like a third culture kid is that, say, if you're mixed, like your mom is black and your dad's white or vice versa, you look different, and then you're able to put them in a box, right? And you're like, oh, this person mixed, and then obviously they have some black culture and some white culture. But for me, I'm African American. I think I'm part Cherokee. So for the most part, like, mostly African American. So I don't get the, let's say, the benefit of the doubt of, like, oh, why is he so comfortable talking to farm kids? Because once again, I grew up on a pig farm. Why is he so comfortable with talking with white kids who wear belt buckles and big boots and they like drive Ford or Chevy and they wave the American flag? Why is he so comfortable talking with them than kids in the inner city? There's moments where, like, I'd be at Moody and I'd be with black students who are just incredible here. And I just would not feel as comfortable because I'd have to prove myself, but I'd have to prove myself in a culture that I'm still trying to learn. And then I'd be back with, like, these homeschool kids, because I was also homeschooled, talking about VeggieTales and Lord of the Rings and Mary Poppins and Sound of Music, and being like, oh, this is fine culture. This is what it's all about. I mean, like, this is great. And then if I try to talk to them about the same things with the people who happen to be black, who have just different cultural tastes, which are not wrong, it'd be kind of fall flat. So it's been a very interesting road over the last 4 years of being here at Moody. Just in the fact of, like, wow, my identity has to be in Christ. And as I've grown in my identity in Christ and know that I am black by God's sovereign will and his audacious artistry, that it's okay that I like Sound of Music and Mary Poppins and that I grew up on a pig farm. And, you know, like, I know how to ride horses and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, it's great that, like, I'm being able to see, like, what is it like to be a black man in America? And the implications of that, or how can I step up as being a black man who's a Christian first? How is it that being a third culture kid, that loneliness should drive me towards Christ? And actually, it should cause my heart to break for, like, we have so many great MKs at our school who have, like, the same, like, similar, like, oh, they look American, but they grew up in Latvia. And really, like, they're Latvian, but even to Latvians, like, they may be as Latvian as possible, but they're still kind of like the American kid. Just, like, how can my heart just break for them and be like, hey, you know, that loneliness can be met in, like, satisfied in Christ and through Christ and community. Yeah, that's been my experience with being a third culture kid. It's been rough in some ways and still awkward. I'm trying to figure things out, but I've been so blessed with having friends like Jonathan and Aiden and Gabor and just different kids that got men of God and women of God here at Moody Bible Institute that have helped me navigate these kind of tough waters of, yeah, what unites us is Christ and that our differences can be celebrated.
What I love about John C's story is he does not shy away from the difficult things that happen in his life. There are some hard things, but the most important thing is remembering the identity in Christ. I don't know if you guys heard it, but he kind of had a mantra. I was created, I'm going to butcher it, but he said the words, created by God's audacious artistry, a lot. And after we recorded this, I kind of asked him, I was like, is that like one of your mantras? And he said, yes, that is. And that's something that helps him growing up in a somewhat racialized context and in a very racialized country. This is important. And another thing I want to bring up is the element of claiming, having other people claim you and feel it being claimed by those you love. I talked about this a little bit in the episode with Janyo on belonging, but belonging is a two-way street. And with the concept of adoption specifically, it is very important for those in the adoptive family to actively claim those who are being adopted. I remember very poignantly the first time I ever referred to my siblings as my siblings. I referred to them as my brother and my sister. And I remember that moment very profoundly because that was the first time that I consciously, before public and before people, recognized them as my own. And our relationship shifted. And John C. talks about when his dad claimed him in front of his great-grandmother. And he said, "No, this is my eldest son. This is my son." And that moment is still a moment that he looks back on and says, "I'm proud. I am who I am." Another thing I want to talk about is the idea of being yours in Christ and finding your identity in Christ. John C. talked about that a lot in this story. And what I love about the way he talked is he didn't shy away from the fact that he has some elements of white culture and he enjoys that. And in fact, the thing that made him free was realizing that his identity is in Christ and his cultural identity is in Christ. And that is the common ground that he has with his African-American brothers and sisters and his Euro-American brothers and sisters. Much like me, I grew up in Africa, and so I'm very culturally different, or I can be culturally different from those around me here in the U.S. because I don't follow sports. I don't understand something. I didn't grow up in the 90s here, and I can't remember sometimes a lot of the TV shows and the pop culture events that a lot of people in my generation really call back to in nostalgia. I didn't see a lot of movies. There are times where my fiance will tell me, "What, you haven't seen this movie yet?" Because I simply didn't grow up with it. But I'm still united in Christ with my American brothers and sisters, and I don't relate a lot to elements of Nigerian culture anymore too because of the amount that I've been here in the U.S. and I relate to my Nigerian brothers and sisters through my unity in Christ. And I love that. I love that story, and I love him as a person. Thank you to everyone who has listened and told people about it. Continue to tell people about it. I've had a lot of really great engagement with people on the Facebook page. If you don't know, there is a Facebook page. It's tcktales@facebook.com. Check it out. Message me and message the people on the team. It's great to just hear people's stories. If you would like to share your story in this season or in future seasons, you can do that. I'm trying to broaden it so it's not just moody people. So if you've heard this and you would like to share your story with the rest of the world, please just record it onto your iPhone or smartphone and then email it to tcktales@gmail.com. And I will be in touch with you about editing and working on things and how to get it. I'm trying to slowly collect stories for people so that I can continue doing this after I graduate and leave Chicago here at the end of this season. If you have any questions or concerns, or you just want to share the love or appreciation, do it via Facebook or do it via email. Our email again is tcktales@gmail.com. Shoot me an email, talk to me, we'll have a conversation. If you have any ideas or people you think I should talk to, let me know. I'm always very open to it. One thing I haven't mentioned in a while, but if you would like to support the show financially, you can do that. There is a link in the show notes. Go there and subscribe via Anchor. You by no means do not have to, but I am a broke college student and this does take time that I sometimes do not have with taking 21 credits and working 20 hours to save up for a wedding and all that fun stuff. And so I would love to be able to put more time and effort into this podcast, but you kind of got to make money, especially, like I said, with a wedding looming. And, you know, right now this is unfortunately more of a hobby. So if you have been touched by this podcast and you feel the leading of the Spirit, or you just like to support me financially, you can do it that way. But again, by no means, I love doing this and I love being able to help you guys out and help people out. Thank you guys so much for listening again. We are about midway through our mini series on identity. If you want to catch all of it, go back and listen to the previous episode. It's called Am I an MK? It's my sister and I talking about leaving the field at such a young age and the identity crisis of being an MK or not being an MK. We have about two more episodes left on this little mini series before we kind of go back into the general season. So continue to listen. I hope you guys enjoyed John C. And if you have any other alternative TCKs that you think I should reach out to and try to talk to, let me know. Again, email or Facebook. Everything is TCK Tales. Thank you to XN Radio and the XN Podcast Network for the studio access and letting us be a part of your network. Go to xnradio.cc for more amazing shows. And be on the lookout. January is when all the new shows that they've been working on this semester will start launching. So be on the lookout for that. And you can listen to me wherever you get your podcast. I'm on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Overcast, Spotify, everywhere you go. Just search TCK Tales, and I'm one of the first ones to pop up. Please tell your friends. Thank you to Bensom Buddies for our amazing soundtrack. And we'll see you guys next week for another TCK Tale.